Greg and team, thank you so much, and good morning, everybody, and welcome today to our first service here at First Colony. And in our teaching time today, we're continuing with this message series called A Cynic's Guide to Prayer. And today, the title simply is Ask, which really summarizes everything that Jesus has to say about prayer in the Gospels. If you could summarize all he has to say in one word, it would be ask. Ask. In Matthew chapter 7, he says these words, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you'll find. Knock, and the door will be open." Now, let me state the obvious. There are some things that will not be given to you unless you ask. There are some things that you will not find unless you seek. There are some things that will not be opened up to you unless you knock at the door. Ask, seek, knock, for everyone who, he continues, who asks receives, he who seeks knocks, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. You know, learning to ask is a really important skill. There are lots of people who settle for less than they could possibly have and experience simply because they don't ask. And I'm not talking about just prayer. I'm talking about in life. How many of you settle for less when you could ask for an upgrade, but you just don't ask for it? You could ask for a better room at the same price, but you just don't ask. Jack Canfield has written a book called The Aladdin Factor, in which he talks about how important it is as simply as people to learn how to make the ask. And he lists five main reasons why people don't ask, just in life. One is ignorance. We just don't know what's available to us. We don't know what's possible. We don't know what we really want. Here's a second reason. Limiting and inaccurate beliefs. Some of you believe, well, it's just not polite to ask. If we were renting a car together and we were there at the counter and I would say, "Yeah, for this same price, could I get an upgrade?" Some of you would go, "Oh, well, that's not polite." Well, that's very polite. I'm not demanding. I'm not being rude. I'm just asking. How many of you in relationship, how many of you in marriage operate by this limiting and inaccurate belief? If you love me, you will already know what I want. And that romantic belief that says, you know, if somebody loves me, then they'll just intuitively anticipate and know my desire, that has led to huge amounts of unhappiness and disappointment. And unless you are married to a bona fide psychic, it is very possible for you to be married to somebody, for that person to love you and not know what you want. If you want more affection, if you want more attention, if you want more communication, if you want help with the children, if you want help with the dishes, ask for it. I have two sisters who live in Tennessee, and we're all three trying to take care of our mom, and I've repeatedly told them, I don't do hints, I don't read minds, I do clear and direct. You're there. If there's something I need to be aware of, something I need to do, just tell me clearly. Please don't hint. Please don't generally. I love you. I love our mom. But I won't know unless you tell me. Why don't we ask? Fear, limiting and inaccurate beliefs, or ignorance. The third one is fear. Fear of looking foolish. Fear of rejection. One lady said this to men, said, "You guys are always rejecting yourselves before you even ask us out. You anticipate no, and you should be braver." 4, low self-esteem. Oh, I'm not really important enough to ask. It's, you know. And number 5, pride. Afraid of looking weak and needy because capable people just figure it out by themselves, right? Oh. And Jesus says, when it comes to prayer, there are some gifts that God wants to give you because He is good and He loves to give good gifts. He is your Father and He loves you, but He has so decreed that unless you ask, they'll not be given. Why? Because He wants to build your relationship. And unless you seek, you'll not find. And unless you knock, the door will not be open. Oh, but He loves me and therefore He should just know and He'll go. No. Ask, seek, knock. Asking greatly increases your chances of receiving. There's an old Chinese proverb that says this: man who passively waits for roast duck to fly into mouth must wait very, very long time. Point number one, bold, persistent asking honors God. Bold, persistent asking honors God. Here's a concept that for many of us is astounding, and that is that the infinite God is personally concerned and wants to be personally involved in the details of our lives. And David in Psalm 23 sort of capsules this concept when he says, "The Lord, the infinite, great, Creator God is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. The infinite God is personal to me." And then Jesus, in teaching us about prayer, told us a couple of stories. He told a story of a guy who in the middle of the night needs some bread. Why? He has some unexpected house guests. They're hungry. Why they can't wait till tomorrow morning, I don't know. But here's the story. And in the middle of the night, he has some unexpected house guests. They're hungry. And he goes to a neighbor and he just starts knocking at the door. And the neighbor says, "Well, I'm in bed. I'm asleep. My wife's asleep. The kids are asleep. I don't want to get up." And the guy just keeps knocking. "Hey, I need 3 loaves of bread. And I'm not going away." And because the guy just kept boldly asking, the man who was already in bed says, "Well, I don't really want to do this, but I'll get up and I'll give you the bread anyway, just so you'll quit knocking at my door." And then Jesus tells another story about a sweet little old lady who is hassled by an unjust judge. There is this politician in town who has control and power, and this unjust judge is not particularly moved by the woman, but because she continues to knock at his door and says, "I'm not going away." And finally, Jesus said, "Because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming." And we hear those stories and we say, "Well, Jesus, you're not making Father God sound particularly noble. You're making him sound like a grumpy old neighbor, or you're making him sound like a crusty old, uncaring, hard-hearted politician." And he says, No. If people like that can sometimes be moved to respond to your request simply because you boldly and persistently ask, how much more then your heavenly Father, who does love you, he's not like a grumpy old neighbor. He's not like a hard-hearted, crusty old politician. He is your Father. He loves you, and his inclination is to lean into your request. How much more then is he honored by your bold, persistent asking? And he'll say yes. He'll say no. He'll say later. He'll say, "Here's something else." A bold, persistent asking honors God. Second thing I want to underscore this morning is that bold, persistent asking changes the world around us. Sometimes in obvious ways, sometimes in not so obvious ways, but if we are to enter into this divine dance called prayer, we must surrender our desire to be in control. We must surrender our desire to have everything figured out. We must surrender our desire how to manipulate the system and simply trust that bold, persistent asking changes the world around us. God responds to, "I'm going to ask, seek, and knock" prayers. Thirdly, bold, persistent asking, it changes us. Not only does it change the world around us, it changes us. In the process of our asking and seeking and knocking, God does something in us, the person who is asking, seeking, and knocking. Those who pray change. And some people don't pray because they don't really want to change. But prayer indeed moves the hand of God. He does hear and answer, but prayer also changes the person who is praying. We want God to be intimately involved in our lives. But get this, we also want Him to stay out of our business. We want Him to come where He is invited, but we don't want Him to get particularly invasive. We want to set the agenda, but sometimes God says, "I want to rearrange the agenda, and I'd like to take what you have number 9 on the list, I want to move it up to number 1. God, I want to come to you, and I want to talk to you about my career." And He says, "I want to talk to you about your character. God, I want you to change my children. I really need you to change my sons. I need you to change my daughter. I want to talk to you about your example." God, I really want to talk to you about my promotion. I want to talk to you about your bitterness. I want to talk to you about my spouse. I need you to change my spouse. No, I want full access to your heart. See, when we pray and when we keep asking and seeking and knocking, and we've got something we bring to God, God will sometimes rearrange that agenda, and He will nudge our heart, and He will change what we're talking. He changes us. God, I want to talk to you about this. And He says, "Well, I want to talk to you about that over there, but I would have never known about this over here unless I had drilled down and kept asking and seeking and knocking." Let me ask you something. Do you pray to just move God, or do you also pray for God to move you? God, heal me, change them, fix this problem. Or do you also pray, God, change my heart, change my attitude. Let me love my enemies. Let me persevere through hardship. God, maybe you don't get me around this. Maybe you get me through this. And you get me through this in a way that I don't deny you. I don't disown you. I don't dishonor you. In other words, we come and we can, this is on your outline, we ask boldly, but we surrender completely. Ask boldly, but surrender completely. And the model of that is Jesus. In your outline, you'll see a little diagram. A diagram that says, you know, right down the middle is good asking. But it's possible to go to either extreme. On one side, we can go to just, I don't ask. For whatever reason, I'm not asking. And there is a separation. There's a distance between God and me. In the other ditch, there's asking selfishly. This is where, you know, I write the script and I give it to God and I say, here's what you need to do. And when that doesn't happen, you'll hear people say, "Well, I'm disappointed in God. I'm mad at God. I'm frustrated at God," which is just another way of saying, "Hey, I wrote the script and He's not following it." And we are invited to do good asking, where we can ask boldly for anything. but also surrender completely. And the model of that is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, I want you to look at the scripture from Luke chapter 22, verses 41 and 42. He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them. He knelt down and he prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me." And please, don't just hurriedly read through that line and quickly get to the "not my will, but yours." I want you to camp out here for a moment. Jesus is asking boldly in a... This is the real man making a real request. He does not suppress his feelings. Neither do his feelings master him. This is the real Jesus, the real person encountering his real Father. And he's asking. He doesn't demand, but he asks. "God, if you, I want you to take this from me." "Yet not my will, but yours be done." I'm willing to surrender to your story in my life. And I got to tell you, in my life, my great struggle, for a lot of people, they say their great struggle is discerning the will of God in their life. That has not been my great struggle. My great struggle has not been discerning the will of God in my life. My great struggle has been disowning my own will. And getting in touch with my own inner brat that wants what I want when I want it, and willing to say, "Not my will be done, but yours." And so Jesus comes respectfully but honestly, and he says, "Father God, this is hard. This is difficult." And gang, there are going to be days when something happens in your life that's incredibly devastating, and when the doctor says, "I've got bad news," or when the spouse says, "I'm out of here," or when the nurse says, "I'm sorry, but you've miscarried," what you must not do on those days is say, "Well, let's just pretend everything's fine." Jesus, in an incredibly difficult and dark day, says, "I am asking for this situation to change. I'm asking for you to get me out of this. But if that's not your way, if your assignment is for me to go through this, then get me through this in a way where I'm faithful to you, where I honor you, where my life is an example and a blessing to others." And I got to ask, are you willing to go there with God? God can and does answer prayer, and sometimes he changes the situation and gets you out of it. Sometimes he just gets you through it. And following Jesus means accepting the life that God's given you and becoming the person that God intends for you to be through even some of the challenging seasons of life. And the last thing I want to say is that bold, persistent asking, it really is effective. It is effective. God is not irritated by our persistent prayer. He's honored by it. And there will be times, though, when it will feel like we're talking to a grumpy neighbor. It will feel like we're talking to a hard-hearted authority figure who doesn't care. That's what it may feel like at times. But Jesus says, hang in there. Keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. Even hard-hearted authority figures pay attention to somebody who keeps asking, seeking, and knocking. But that's not your Father. That's not his inclination. He leans into you and invites you to come to him. And when we pray, our prayers are bathed in a particular word. We pray in Jesus' name. There's a guy in our church who occasionally has given me his tickets to Houston Rockets basketball games. And I'll go to that Houston Rocket game and I'll sit down in this particular seat. and a waiter will come to me and he'll say, "Oh, you're in the seats of Mr. and Mrs. and call their name." Say, "I sure am." And all of a sudden, because of that name, I'm treated like royalty. And when you pray, you're not just coming on your own. You're coming in the name of Jesus. Jesus is not only the Savior of your soul, He's also the Savior of your requests, the Savior of your prayers. And as you pray in His name, that name gives you royal access. And you say that name, and all of a sudden, all of heaven and earth comes to full attention because of the name of Jesus. Well, my experience with a lot of folks is that they've gotten off into one ditch or the other. Some people are off in the ditch of just asking selfishly. I don't know a lot of people who are like that, but they're there. They demand of God, and when God doesn't just follow their script immediately, they get mad and frustrated. And, you know. Others tend to be over in the ditch of just not asking for whatever reason. Ignorance, fear, pride, you know. But Jesus invites us to ask specifically and boldly, to surrender completely, knowing that God's will is even better than ours. And how many of you, like a good parent, I mean, God's thumbprint is all over you. You know what it's like when your children come to you and they make a request, and it may not have been in your heart to give them that, but they ask for something, and you get, or grandparents. I mean, yesterday morning, I take a couple of my grandsons to breakfast, and you know, we're over here at the mall, and my grandson Jackson says, "Pops, I want to spend all your quarters." That's fine, Jackson, we'll just spend all my quarters. And we start, you know, riding a few of those little, you know, games and machines over there. And then I tell him, I say, "Jackson, this would be the last one we can do." And I thought, well, he might get upset and want more. And he just said, "Well, that's okay, Pops." I thought, what a great little attitude, man. I'm taking some of this cash and getting more quarters, and we're gonna ride some more. He just had such an angelic little spirit, and it lasted all the way until the slide on the playground, when he pushed the little kid off the slide on the playground. But a moment earlier, I love that spirit in him, this willing to take my answer. And God looks at you, and His inclination is that of a father. And He invites you to come and to ask boldly and to surrender completely, knowing that even His will it can even be better than yours. And He will get you through it, and He will use your life, and He will use your life boldly and clearly for a noble reason and assignment. Okay. All right. So, in a word, all of Jesus' teaching on prayer could be summarized like this. Ask. Don't talk yourself out of it. Ask. And see what happens. Okay. We're going to come now to our prayer time this morning. And during a time of prayer, you are invited to just stay right where you are and pray. Or some of our elder couples will be down front, and they would love for you to come up and pray with them about anything that is on your heart and mind. In fact, let me just go ahead at this time and ask everybody to go ahead and be standing, and let me ask our elder couples to go ahead and be making your way down front. And this is a time where if it concerns you, it concerns the Lord. And this can be a time where you share a joy, a victory, a concern, an opportunity, whatever it is. We invite you to come down and to pray with one of these couples and partner together with them as you invite God's presence and leadership and blessing on your life. So as we sing, let's come to the Lord in prayer, please.